Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become, well, a light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. What do you say? We just quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We got a good message for you today, my friend. The question is, are you ready to hear? We're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? We are hearing from the Gospel of John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them and said, Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. So they said to him, What can we do to accomplish the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. So they said to him, What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. The Gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is, my friend. Oh, this is a deep pool. Grab the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news. But it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil. And at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we continue our journey through the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. What is known as the Bread of Life Discourse, and let me tell you, my friends, this is graduate level Christianity. This is not your mother's milk. This is meat. It's deep. Definitely worth a read. Sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. And I guess if I was to try to sum up our lesson today, it would be about focus. What's your focus? And if you're wondering what the answer to that question might be for you, ask yourself this question. What do I spend the majority of my time thinking about? Because whatever that is, that's who you are. Why? Because what are we if not a collection of all our thoughts? Or to put it in another way, thinking is the architect of our reality. So let's talk about this. Like I said, we're in the Gospel of John. And once again, we're faced with an issue and it's not a new issue. It's an issue that we deal with quite a bit on this program. And that's the fact that we are hearing verses that very much cut off in the middle, essentially leaving us with half of what the original audience heard some 2,000 years ago. Which highlights once again why, if you don't know what just happened and you're not sure what's about ready to happen, can't really know what is happening, which is why you need to read your Bible and you need to read it in a row. So let's try to put this in context, set the table, because as I said many times, words without context are simply that, words. Words with either no meaning or worse yet, words that have whatever meaning we decide they're going to have, which is not what we want to do here at Daily Living. So let's look at where we are. Like I said, we're in the sixth chapter of John. And if you were with us last week, we were on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is teaching his people. It's a lovely place. I've been there. And we've just had the feeding of the 5,000, also known as the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. And I must say that it's very hard for the modern mind to really wrap itself around how profound that miracle really was. But it was. It was a game changer. And to understand why, you have to kind of understand the challenge of food in the ancient world. Because, of course, very different today as it was then. Today, we got a McDonald's or a Wendy's or a Taco Bell on just about every street corner. But in the ancient world, this was not the case. Food was very hard to come by. It had to be either grown in a field or hunted. So when people got up in the morning, one of the number one priorities for them was to try to figure out how they were going to eat and how they were going to feed their family. This was a daily effort, occupied a whole lot of their time, really. And protein, such as meat or fish, especially hard to come by. And in the case of fish, in a world of refrigeration, fresh fish is only good for a couple hours at best, salted maybe a day. So I guess what I'm trying to say is this. In a world where food is abundant, which is, of course, our world, the gravity of this miracle can be easily lost on us. This wasn't, oh, Jesus invited us to dinner. No, no, no. This is Jesus is giving us what we need, which is why they reacted by saying this is truly a prophet, one who is to come into the world. That statement is suggesting Messiah. Now, of course, by this time, Israel had been without a prophet for generations. But they've been on the lookout. They've been waiting. As we've talked about many times in the past, there was a heightened messianic expectation at the time. And while many had come before Jesus, you know, Messiah wannabes, claiming to be a Messiah, nobody did anything remotely like this. And in doing so, Jesus was providing for one of their most important needs. So what do? They want to make him king. Of course, Jesus knows this, and he wants no part of it. So he withdraws to the mountain to be alone to pray. And I've always kind of wondered about that. I mean, why wouldn't he allow them to make him king? I mean, because if he was king, then I suppose everybody would have to listen to him, right? He would have more influence. But I guess if he was king, they would expect him to be a warrior king and lead a political revolt against Rome, a revolution. And that, of course, that's what they wanted, but that's not why he came, which kind of puts his finger on a deeper issue. Watch. They wanted Jesus to be what they wanted him to be. And my friends, today, not much has changed. So many of us want to make Jesus out to what we want him to be, some cosmic waiter in the sky to take care of all of our needs and desires, and at the end of it all, represent us before God as we pretty much live like we want to live, and hopefully be good enough at judgment. But this is not why he came. In case you wonder why he came to teach us how to be a human being and to offer us eternal life. That's why he came. But let's get back to this. After Jesus had fed the 5,000, and that's men, so it's more like 10 to 12,000 people, if you include the women and children, and why wouldn't you? He told the disciples to get in the boat and cross the lake without him. And he retreated to the mountains to be alone with his Father and pray, which right there, I mean, there's a whole homily right there, don't you think? I mean, how often do we take the time to retreat to a quiet place and be alone with our Heavenly Father? So the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee and they come upon a storm, which we have noted in the past was and still remains today common on the Sea of Galilee. And in the middle of the storm, Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, other Gospels, because we're in John, right? Other Gospels go into greater detail into this moment, and they talk about how Jesus called Peter to come out on the water, and we know that Peter actually starts walking on the water. But when he sees the waves and the wind, he becomes afraid and he begins to sink. Why? Because he got stuck in his own head. Why? Because everybody knows you can't walk on water, even though he was. He took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. Again, what was his focus? What was he thinking about? Well, it wasn't Jesus. It was the wind and the waves and the fact that everybody knows you can't walk on water. So he sank. Why? Because he lost his focus. And his thinking created his reality. Now, all of that brings us to our gospel today. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for him. Now, why were these people looking for Jesus? Well, fortunately, we don't have to look too far because Jesus tells us. He says, amen, amen, I say to you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So let's just stop the tape for a moment and consider this. Jesus has been trying to teach these people about the possibility of eternal life. He's trying to teach them about the kingdom of God, which is foundational to his message. It is and has always been about the possibility of eternal life. That's what his message is about. But these people, they're not interested in that. Why? Because they want more food. I mean, that's what this is all about. This is about solving that food problem, which, as I had noted, was near the top of their list of concerns in the ancient world. And now they have, at least in their own minds, found the great and powerful Oz to solve all their problems, a genie to grant all their wishes and desires, take care of all their needs. And even though they've seen him do this amazing miracle, single-handedly feeding these huge crowds, even though they had seen him heal the sick, even though they had realized, well, he's the guy, right? They want him to give them what they think they need. And as far as that message about eternal life, forget it. Do that loaves and fishes thing again. I mean, that's what they wanted. They were centered on self. They were focused on their own desires, which at the moment was food. Good thing there's nobody like that around here. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living, not just for the break. We have Jesus and his disciples, and they're arriving on the shores of Capernaum, this small little fishing village on the Sea of Galilee. And well, they just had this tremendous miracle that we know is the feeding of the 5,000. A miracle that has the rare distinction of appearing in all four Gospels. Of course, today we're considering the account of the Gospel of John, or what they call the Johannine account. And John, unlike the first three, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are grouped together in what we call synoptic Gospels, John doesn't use the word miracle like they do. Rather, he talks about signs. And of course, a sign, every sign, has a purpose. Much like a road sign, a sign, and certainly a signs in the Gospel of John, always point to something else. And with the possible exception of the raising of Lazarus, there was no greater sign than the feeding of the 5,000. It was a very powerful sign and statement about who Jesus is and why he's here. But my friends, it's the sizzle, not the steak. And they clearly miss it completely, this sign. Why? Because their focus is on the food. And of course, Jesus sees right through them, as he sees right through you and I. And he says, amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. On him, the Father God has set his seal. What does that really mean? Set a seal on Jesus how? Well, consider what he's doing. I mean, consider the evidence. He's miraculously healing people. He just fed 5,000 men. And he says, do not work for food that perishes, but food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. In other words, get beyond yourself. Get out of your own head and get beyond this temporal world that is fading fast and focus on what lasts forever, a forever that I will give you. Stop focusing on what you think you need and keep your eyes on me. You're missing the point. And of course, they were. They were totally missing the miracles of God because they had lost themselves in what they thought they needed. Sadly, this continues to this day. So many of us are missing the miracles of God plainly playing out in our lives. Why? Because our focus continues to be on what we think we need, what we think Jesus should do for us. Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious what we shall eat or what we shall wear or what we shall drink. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means stop obsessing about what you think you need. Keep your focus on Jesus. Seek me first. Seek what is eternal first. I'll take care of all that other stuff. That's his promise. And if there's anything I know about Jesus for sure, it's that he keeps his promises. So after Jesus says, stop concerning yourself with food that perishes, what do they say? They say, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? Can you see how they're desperately trying to control the situation? They're trying to control Jesus. They're trying so hard to try to put him in their box of understanding. What must we do to control God, to control you, so that we can get our needs met? Again, they don't get it. And Jesus answers, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Because you see, it's not about what they're going to do. It never was, because it's not about them. It's about him. It's about the work of Jesus. It's about the fact that he has come from heaven and what he's doing for us, what he is freely giving us. I mean, watch this. He feeds them for free. He heals them for free. He's offering eternal salvation for free. And they respond, how do we earn it? This makes no sense. But as silly as this might sound, this attitude continues to persist in many of our churches today. What can I do? Of course, the easy answer for that is, well, you give, 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 so you can receive. Never come to the Lord empty-handed. Send in your love offering and you'll be blessed. And understand, there is a foundational principle of tithing. Giving is a great thing, but this principle is often twisted and it's making televangelist fortunes. What can we do to accomplish the works of God? I'll tell you what you can do. This is a work of God. Believe in the one he sent. And then I love it. I love this. Okay. Well, what sign can you do that we may believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. I mean, really, remember now, he just fed 5,000 people and they're still thinking about food. I mean, how thick-headed and slow are these people? How ignorant these people are, how patient our Lord must be. Boy, I tell you what, if I was there, but hold on there, Sparky, what about you? What about me? How often do we obsess over what we think we need, all the while ignoring the blessings that God has given us and what he's trying to teach us? All the while focusing on what we think we need. So many of us have reduced Jesus to some kind of good luck charm in the sky, this magic genie that's just going to grant our wishes and take care of all we think we need. I mean, consider the Lord's Prayer for just a second. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, when you hear that line, what do you think about? I mean, I think most of us, when we hear daily bread, we think about, well, food, right? That's our food. It represents our temporal needs, what we need to survive. I mean, okay, I get it. But how does that square up with the fact that Jesus is calling himself the bread of life? Remember now, we're in the 6th chapter of John. This is called the bread of life discourse. He's calling himself the bread of life. So if Jesus is the bread of life, can you see how when we're asking for our daily bread, what we're really asking for is Jesus? Give me Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. That is a promise. And like I said, Jesus keeps his promises. Let us receive what Jesus is freely offering us today. Let us receive what we cannot earn. Let us receive what we hunger for. Let us receive what we thirst for. Let us receive what drives us. What is driving you to watch this program today? The fundamental desire, the human desire in all of us, because God has created us for eternity. So we have this desire. And as much as we might want to try to earn it, we can't. Only thing we can do is believe in the one who is standing at your door right now, knocking. The one who was sent from heaven to save you from yourself. Yes, my friends, receive Christ into your heart today, and He'll change you. Yes, He will. From the inside out, change your thinking, change your heart, teach you through His Word how to live in this fallen world, show you His path, and it's His work, not yours. He is the way to eternal life. He is the bread that comes down from heaven that gives life to this world. Won't you let Him breathe life into you today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let us keep our eye on the prize, my friend. Let us keep our focus on Jesus. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.